almost 13 minutes past the hour. It is a Thursday morning, January 25th. Every week we're blessed to have Father Mitch Pacwa join us for Cultural Connections. And Father, beautiful march last week, beautiful theme. And, of course, we covered both the Walk for Life West Coast, actually three things, One Life LA and the Big March for Life in Washington. And the theme for the March for Life in D.C., which is really considered not just a national event but an international event, as you know, because so many people come from all over the world to celebrate life. The theme this year was With Every Woman for Every Child. So the weekend goes by, all these great pro-life events. Then Monday hits, and it's the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, January 22nd, which we know was obviously overturned back in 2022. But then we have the All Abortion, All the Time campaign from this administration. Bishop Burbidge has already spoken out, reminding us that abortion is a preeminent issue. But we're already seeing the angle, the take, that Planned Parenthood and their cohorts and this administration are doing in terms of trying to tug at the hearts of people, making them think that we have to have abortion because it's inhumane not to have abortion. So just your thoughts in seeing all of this and, come out with this president who claims to be a devout Catholic. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure to be with you. There are a couple things. One is I think as I've listened to pundits speak, over the last few months, I think that many of them have a point that there are so many failed situations from the policies that have taken place. The border and the economy, the electric car push, and now going after, getting everything to be gas appliances when they had said they wouldn't. All these policies are failing. The one policy where they have found political victories in state elections has been abortion. I don't know of any other policy that has been particularly successful. And they're going at what worked for them in Ohio back in 22, and the vote for the constitutional right in the Constitution of Ohio, a constitutional right for abortion, mm-hmm. Received a lot of money. And they won on that, and I think it's largely because a lot of people on both sides of the aisle don't want to take options away from other people. That's where the success came.
But they are taking the option of life from the baby.
Well,
and not to mention the father and other people who don't want the abortion.
See that kid. So the people I can see, that's the ones I don't want to remove the option. That's the mentality. And so they think they can win on this. And while they are switching to blame Republicans for the border crisis and focusing on abortion to get elected. And I cannot help but see in the face of the chaos that the border crisis has caused. I mean, a city the size of Cincinnati comes in every month now. And, enough people to populate the whole of Cincinnati comes in monthly. And they're not prepared. They're not taking care of it. It's schools are being shut down, all that stuff. So, we're going to guarantee the right to kill your own children. We're letting all these other people in, including children, whom there are now thousands of people, children, who have crossed over in federal custody, and they've lost control over where they are. They don't know where they are. So this indicates, and this is something that we have to keep in mind, they want people to be able to kill their own children. And when they do have custody of children, they lose that custody because they don't care. They really don't care. And it's all about maintaining power for other things at which they don't seem to be particularly competent, but we can get people to vote with us when it comes to killing children. That's that may be the cynical Chicagoan in me, but I think that there's an element of that going on.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, it's like so many other areas of so-called freedom. We don't want people to go to prison for smoking marijuana, even though studies are showing increasingly this is harmful. But, you know, it's allowing freedom, especially if those freedoms are about keeping political supporters happy. If you can have sex with no consequences, such as a child is a very natural consequence of sexual relations between a man and a woman. That's pretty normal. And but to have that without consequences is acceptable and promoted. And the same thing with drug use without consequence, even though it does have consequences. And abortion has consequences that are not addressed. Oftentimes, the consequences of abortion on women long run are ignored and denied, whereas the effects that it has sometimes decades later, in counseling, I've seen this. Women who had abortions when they were young, all of a sudden in their 70s and 60s, find that they are having great difficulties. And this is the reality.
Father, I wanted also to mention, you've seen that story, and this is going to happen, supposedly at the State of the Union address, where Biden has invited this woman, who happens to be a doctor, who terminated her pregnancy, and she was in Texas, and she had to go to another state. It was a big story. And now they're bringing her to talk about her situation at the State of the Union to push their abortion agenda further. And she's saying, or they're claiming, I'm not sure if she's saying it in the ad, but they're claiming that her health was in jeopardy. And yet if you look at what was actually being done in her situation, her health was not in jeopardy. She was obviously felt that she needed for whatever reason, and maybe she hasn't heard information about how women who go through with a pregnancy, even if the child is determined not to live long after the birth, that that's much more healing. I just read a study at the top of the hour that actually says that, a new study.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're using this, and they're really tugging at our emotions. They did the same thing in Michigan with Prop 3, which passed by enormous margins. And
yep.
We have, and then they lie, they twist and they lie, and they're, because they lie, because abortion is a big lie. But we have so many powerful witnesses and powerful testimonies of women who have conceived through rape and either placed the baby with an adoptive family or raised the child. And there's also study after study, especially Dr. Reardon at his website, afterabortion.org, that shows that if a woman does decide to go through with the pregnancy, even if she goes through the horrific situation of conceiving through rape, that she is much better off emotionally, even physically, psychologically, all of these things because of the stress level and the trauma. You're doubling on the trauma when you add abortion to a rape. And we need to tell these stories. And this is what I'm concerned about. We're not telling these stories yet.
Yeah. And this is something that, certainly here at EWTN and various affiliates, we have programs that are pro-life and tell...
Well, we do. I'm talking about getting it out there in the secular public. I mean, we cover that all the time. I mean, Silent No More, yeah, right, your show, my show. Yeah.
And, you know, getting that into the secular media, even some of the conservative secular media. It's not just the liberal media.
Mm-hmm.
It's also some of the so-called politically conservative, because some of them are... remember last week when we talked about the comparing the issue of abortion to the attitudes towards slavery, that both were robbing people of humanity, one of life, the other of liberty. And one of the things that happened to the Republican Party in the 1870s, when Reconstruction was ended, that they lost an election because they were supporting the rights of African Americans, the freed slaves. They supported their civil rights, and they lost the election. Said, oh, we better not do that anymore because getting it reelected is what we've got to do. They were cowards. And I hear among some of the conservative folks that we better not talk about abortion because, you know, that's a losing issue, instead of saying we need to promote this value of life. And this is something that it's a fear of losing power rather than a love of preserving virtue and the right, the inalienable right to life that is at stake for people in many of the media, conservative as well, of course, the liberal, and among politicians. The Democrats see this as a winning issue, and the Republicans are starting to fear it because it's could us be a losing issue. We better not go there. And they become quavering cowards. And this is one of the things where part of our issue is to call all folks of goodwill on all sides of the spectrum of politics and such to be courageous in defending life because it's innocent life. I would also add this, in the case of rape, I think this is a very important issue. What you do to the child that is conceived in rape is what you do in abortions, namely cut off the arms and legs and crush the skull. That's what an abortion entails. These are formed legs and arms and heads, faces, and all. And that's the cruelty that's done. Now, here's a very important principle. Our law forbids us to cut the arms and the legs off of the rapist and then crush his skull. That is forbidden because it's cruel and unusual punishment. And that is against the Bill of Rights. We may not do that. And I doubt that even the victims of rape would want that. So if you don't do it to the perpetrator of the crime, why do you do it to the innocent victim?
Right. And then when we come back, we want to talk about that we're not helping women, these rape victims at all, when we're saying abortion is the answer. It's never the answer because it makes a bad situation, a horrible situation, even worse, and the studies show that out. More with Father Mitch Pacwa when we come back. Father Mitch Pacwa needs no introduction. But if you don't know who he is, you can check out his great work on EWTN.com. He is a scriptural scholar. He is a noted author, speaker, and one of our most popular hosts both on radio and TV. So, Father Mitch, the other story, there were two things I wanted to do in our last segment here. Story also circulating now, just came out today. NPR is all over it, Washington Post, New York Times, all the usual suspects have just grabbed onto this, and it's a study from a Planned Parenthood doctor. So the source is Planned Parenthood. Consider the source is one of the first things you learn in journalism. And everyone should consider the source because, especially given the lack of sources and attribution we have out there in the culture and the media. But this doctor is claiming that there are 64,000 plus unwanted pregnancies that were associated with rape in states that have bans on abortion following the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And this is the narrative now this week going into following the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, in the middle of this All Abortion, All the Time campaign, going into the State of the Union address. And we have to investigate this study because oftentimes when Planned Parenthood is behind or the abortion industry is behind studies, the numbers are skewed, and yet the press just jump all over it. So
right.
We need to be able to respond.
Two things. We need to find out whether Planned Parenthood is lying, which they did back before Roe, about the number of people who died from illegal abortions.
Yeah.
They lied about that.
So we and those numbers that they lied about, they still use them. And Bernard Nathanson, bless his heart, after he converted and came into the pro-life movement, he was the one who gave him the numbers, made them up for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's one thing you have to do, and that's this will take an investigation. But let's until we get that investigation on the liars from Planned Parenthood, I'm going to go with this being true. Let's start off with that. And my question is, what are the district attorneys and the police doing about rapists?
Mm-hmm.
How is it that this is so common? As I recall, only 2% of rapes lead to conception.
Actually, it's less than that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, this is a horrible, horrible trauma for a woman, and that seems to have some effect on the conception. So then you're telling me that there is, more than 50 times more rapes than that? And why is law enforcement not putting these rapists in prison? Are there that many rapists in prison? Are they being arrested and convicted? And why not? And why is the punishment of these criminals not made so severe and women, so that women can be protected by, in part, the threat that if you rape a woman, you will suffer the consequences? This is an unacceptable crime. And instead, they're running around saying, no, we got to kill the victims. We have to kill the 64,000 babies. And that's what their solution is, instead of going after protecting women from rapists. These are people who have an evil ideology. This, protecting women is should be an extremely high priority. But we see too often that district attorneys won't prosecute these crimes. And, of course, they get away. So maybe there is an increase of rape. Go after that and deal with that reality. And this is something that I, in fact, suspect is connected to the growing anti-woman mentality of the left. Women's issues are no longer have the importance on the left that they once did. Because as we see, President Biden nominated a physical man as Woman of the Year last
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
And, the top women swimmers are men. And this is going on throughout because they don't really care about women. And this is another example. They're not talking about what do we do to increase protection of women. No, let's kill their children. That's their solution.
We also, though, have to have an answer because that's absolutely true. And you're right. Why are the children and the women the victims again? Because you're re-victimizing both the woman and the child.
Exactly.
And the child is becoming a victim again. At the same time, we can also tell people that we have support and help for women who are in those horrific situations. And that's what we talked about on Friday at the March for Life.
I would agree 100% that it is not an issue. It is not fair that an innocent woman accosted by a very evil man who rapes her should not have the burden of raising a child. But there are other people who will help out.
Right.
And we in the church have to come step up and say, we'll take those babies. And I know they will. And this is one of the other things, too, that folks, as a part of a rhetorical issue, will say, well, all you care about is making sure that they get born, but you don't care afterwards. That's not true.
That's not true.
The pro-life centers and women's health centers that help to prevent abortion also give pre prenatal and postnatal care.
Yes, they money and support and parental and you know parental
diapers.
Advice and classes and diapers
yes.
and bassinets and drive to doctor on and on and on. So that's
this
just
is
yeah.
something that we do step up, and I speak at you know fundraisers for these pro-life centers. Because they need money to do that.
Right.
All of us need to step up to help those pro-life centers to do what the work for life and respect. And I always love it when they bring the kids. It's so cool.
Yeah, yeah. There's so much they do. We're going to run out of time, but people need to be reminded that of what Bishop Burbidge, is such a strong, strong pro-life bishop, said in his statement that was released this week. He said that we need to remember that abortion is the preeminent issue. He said that again,
yes.
and that's what the bishop
yes.
said last year. Preeminent issue because it is connected to everything. All these other issues are important, health care, looking at victims of war, immigration, but none of that matters if you're dead. And we all need to study that as to why the church teaches this, the preeminent issue. The answer is never abortion. The situation, as horrific as it can be, love is the answer, being there for people. And that's what the pro-life movement does. But my frustration is we need to get those stories out there beyond. And even it's important to say it repeatedly here because not everybody is in agreement with us here, and I know that from the emails I get. We need to say it on EWTN, on Ave Maria Radio, all of our affiliates, all of our outlets. We need to continue to explain that love is the answer and
yep.
that we have the answer in love and help. Father, I could talk to you for another 3 hours on this. Thank you so much for spending a little bit more time with us this morning. I'm sure this will be coming up again, especially this election year. Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN. Check out his great work, EWTN.com, especially his live shows, which are awesome. We'll be right back.